You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew, topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles, and that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Two chairs, no waiting. Episode number 581. This and that. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop over and check out some of the Mayberry's finest. We got all kinds of stuff, three different kinds of coffee. But let's talk about Sunday Morning Breakfast Blend. You can go check that out over, and you can get one of the other ones too. But as long as you're getting coffee, get you some country bacon from Mayberry's finest. Ooh, it's good. Head over to Weaver's Department Store and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you every week by folks just like you. The executive producer of episode number 581 is Jonna Clark. Jonna, thank you for being the producer here on the show and supporting the podcast. And happy birthday, by the way. All right, everybody. Have a great week here in Mayberry. We have been having a great month. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And wow, have I been having a great time. I hope you have. The month of Mayberry is going on MeTV. And I just saw some folks in the chat room. Poor folks. They don't get MeTV. I feel terrible for them because it's been a lot of fun. They have been showing episodes of The Andy Griffith Show, Gomer Pyle, and all kinds of other classic TV shows that I keep spotting Mayberry characters on. It's almost been like a hobby this past week. So I'm excited about that. I hope you guys have been enjoying it. This week is, what is the name of this week's episode? It's the Fife, something about Barney Fife this week. I forgot what they called it this week. But it's Don Knotts episodes. It's all, here it is. They're memorable. The Fife is Right. That's what they called it. The Fife is Right. You got to love that. So they're all episodes about Barney Fife this week. So, you know, you can pull up your DVDs and watch these anytime you want. But it's been a lot of fun being able to watch them with fellow fans. People are commenting on Facebook and on Twitter. I've seen people saying the month of Mayberry on its tags and hashtags. So it's been a lot of fun. This past week, as I was watching, I was able to, one of some of them, the Gomer Pyle episodes, I was watching them, and turns out that Gomer Pyle, Sergeant Carter, evidently lives in Andy's house. His mom lived in Andy's house. Cause when you see the episode, he's there. It's the front porch of Andy Taylor's house is what you see. And so that was in an episode this past week. So be watching all these great shows that we're having on MeTV, and just see if you can't have just a little bit more fun for the week, for this month, just seeing all these Mayberry characters pop up on different shows. And in this case on Gomer Pyle, it wasn't a Mayberry character. It was Andy's house. So I take my hat off to the folks at MeTV for picking that episode out, knowing that it had Andy's house on it and expecting us Mayberry fans, you and I, to notice that, because, you know, I did. It was great. And like I said, as part of that, I have been watching other old classic shows, and I was watching Red Skelton. I don't know if you guys have ever watched or seen Red Skelton, but on Red Skelton's show the other night, I ran across Hal Smith was actually on there. Otis himself showed up on Red Skelton. There he was. He was right there. His family was having a picnic in the background as Red Skelton's character, the hobo that he plays, Freddie the Freeloader, was trying to get him to give him some food without the policeman catching him trying to get him. But Hal Smith was sitting right behind Red Skelton. And so then I went on just a little bit further. So, folks, this is a new hobby. Another episode of Red Skelton came on, and who should appear on that one other than our fat little mayor himself? He appeared on another skit that Red Skelton was doing, Dick Elliott. was on there as well. So if you're watching these old classic shows, be watching for these appearances of our friends from Mayberry. That's the reason this episode is called This and That. So that's what I'm talking about tonight. This and That. So this has been a lot of fun for me. As I said, we've been, it's 2020 for anybody listening to this later. And so we're stuck in the Corona, the COVID-19 virus, where everybody's stuck at home. So what better thing to do when you're stuck at home than to watch the Andy Griffith Show or watch every other show that you watch looking for Andy Griffith Show people. Is that not great? And thankfully, MeTV has got a whole schedule of these coming up. And so definitely you want to check those out. Also be watching like Carol Burnett Show. Carol Burnett Show has got Jim Nabors, Ken Berry, Ronnie Schell. They'll be appearing May 4th through the 15th. So it's getting close to being over. It's the 11th, but I've been seeing them on there. The Love Boat, the May 10th and 24th, have got Andy Griffith, Don Knotts, Jim Nabors, and Ronnie Schell are going to be on there. And then Sunday the 31st, they're going to have the Return to Mayberry movie. That's from 5 to 7 Eastern time. So we'll be watching for that. All month, they're showing Mayberry RFD episodes and a color episode of Andy Griffith Show every morning at 7 o'clock Eastern time. So that's, I'm at work already for that. So I'm recording those and watching them in the evenings. And that's been kind of fun too. There's been, some of the episodes have been for Mayberry RFD. I don't know that I've ever seen them. If I have seen them, I don't recall them. So that's been fun to see and to just see other things about the town of Mayberry, because there's another town, I think it was Weaverton or something like that. There's another town right next to Mayberry that's evidently a city that I'd never heard of, that evidently the people in Mayberry don't like the people in the other town. They're like a competition, rivals. So that's been kind of fun to see as well. So I know I'm just rambling along. Let's go and hear a voicemail from a caller. And I want to tell you right now that he left a long message, very good message, but he got cut off right at the end. So you're going to have to call me back, Darren. You're going to have to call me back, and you guys will understand why. He kind of left us hanging here at the last of this. So let's hear from Darren.
Hello, Alan. This is Darren, your blind electrical engineering friend. And I was just, I just finished a couple weeks ago listening to all of the Mayberry Bible Study podcasts, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And it gave me the inspiration to go back and realize I hadn't listened to the episodes in quite a long time. And I listen to the episodes. I have a computer program that actually takes the audio out of the DVDs, off the DVDs, and puts it in as MP3 files because I don't need to see the video part. And there was a couple of things that struck my mind. The first one is in the early season number one, particularly the early episodes, because of the way my audio player works, just playing one episode after the other, you can tell that the closing theme and the opening theme are not in the same key. I do not know why this is true, but as a professional musician for 40 years, I can easily tell that they're not in the same key. This could happen for a number of reasons. They could have increased the speed of the opening theme, which would also raise the pitch to meet some sort of timing requirements. But I thought that was one thing. But if you listen to the closing theme followed immediately by the opening theme, and a lot of the episodes in series are season number one, you will discover that. And the other thing, it was kind of interesting to see how the character of Floyd, who I know you play as a tribute artist, it took him several episodes to develop into the Floyd that we know. Because if you see in the very first few episodes he was in, he was
what? Oh no. Darren, you got to call back in because you were about to make a really good point, I'm sure. Hey, thank you for calling. And yes, you are correct. The music is in two different keys. I believe maybe Paul Mulick is talking about that. So I'm probably going to get this banned by YouTube. Let's see if I can play just a second here. Here's the opening theme. And here's the closing. See, they're two different. You can tell one's higher than the other. I'm not a musician. So hopefully those three notes won't get me banned from everybody from playing the theme song. But there is a difference. You're definitely correct. So thank you for pointing that out. And I would love to hear you, your information, what you were going to tell us about Floyd, because that would definitely be something.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what that was. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so definitely call back in and leave another comment. So thank you for calling. I appreciate that. Let's see. I had some, I guess it's called errata corrections, things that Alan got wrong that he needs to tell you about. So in our trivia episode, we had the really easy trivia, I think, a couple of weeks ago, a couple of podcasts ago. There was a thing in there about flashbacks. And so I got a note saying there was more than one. And there was, and even more if you count audio flashbacks, okay, just a voice without an image, because we said there was only one flashback. When Barney learned that Eddie Brooke had escaped, the first a vocal only flashback and then a flashback with an image of Brock was used when Barney remembered Brooke. When Barney remembered that Brooke's threat, "I'll get you for this, Deputy." And in another episode, a vocal-only flashback of Floyd telling Andy of his theory about Peggy seeking marriage was used after Peggy told Andy that she would like to come back the following evening and cook for him and Opie. So there was two other flashbacks at least. So, and maybe more. And of course, I'll tell you who told me all this later. Cause you know, I figured they'd know. And then he also said, "I hate to burst your bubble." This is where he was talking about that. Three Wishes for Opie is not the only episode to have a flashback. there was in Andy Saves Barney Morale when Hilda May, I remember that one completely, recalled to Andy how she had tried to boost Barney's morale the previous evening. Remember, she messed up his hair and then started laughing at him and he couldn't take it. That's a good one. Yeah. So that was a flashback. And so then evidently also on question number 17, which I can't recall what the question was at the moment, but the question, I know what it was. What was the name of the theme song of the Andy Griffith Show? And I said it was the Andy Griffith Show theme and not the Fishing Hole was the name of the actual music. Well, that wasn't correct either. It's actually called the Andy Griffith theme. So this is important. The word show is not in there. I'm trying to get all this right because I make mistakes here on the podcast and they're there forever. Hopefully people might listen to this and hear that I'd made that mistake and not propagate the bad information. Cause I try really hard not to give out bad information. Just think if I wasn't trying how good I'd do. So thank you to, some fellow, what's his name? Oh yeah. Randy Turner for this week in Mayberry history. No, I really honestly thank you for making sure I don't get bad information out there. I don't want to do that. So if you catch me doing something that's wrong, I'll give you bad information. Please, guys, correct me because I don't want to give out bad information. And speaking of Randy Turner, why don't we go ahead and hear from Randy with This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Over the past 2 weeks, I have discussed many of the connections between the classic radio series Gunsmoke and the classic television series The Andy Griffith Show. Today, I will wrap up this three-part series with a different type of connection, references to Gunsmoke made in The Andy Griffith Show. But first, please allow me one last bit of trivia, though not directly Mayberry-related. You'll recall I discussed the original radio series concept was created by Harry Ackerman. Two versions of an episode were filmed, and CBS President William S. Paley preferred the version starring Howard Culver, who starred in the Western adventure series Straight Arrow. Since Culver was contractually prohibited from appearing in another Western for 3 years, the series concept was shelved to allow those 3 years to lapse. But when a new producer and writer partnership discovered the concept, they took it over and created Gunsmoke, but cast William Conrad as Marshal Dillon instead of Paley's original choice, Howard Culver. And what was Howard Culver's best-known television role? He played hotel clerk Howie during the entire nearly 20-year run of the television version of Gunsmoke, appearing in 48 episodes. Now on to references to Gunsmoke made in The Andy Griffith Show. Marshal Dillon had a more difficult time maintaining law and order in the old west town of Dodge City than Andy Taylor did in the bucolic town of Mayberry. But since both series involved lawmen, and since Gunsmoke had been on the air for 5 years and was the number one show in the country when The Andy Griffith Show started, perhaps jokes about such a connection were inevitable. Some references involve Gunsmoke's marshal. In the third season episode, Lawman Barney, the deputy confronts Matt and Neil, who are selling vegetables off the back of a truck without a license. In Alan Melvin's second appearance as a bully in the show, Neil deridingly said to Matt about Barney, "I reckon he's Matt Dillon." A more lighthearted reference is seen later in the same season, when Aunt Bee and other members of the Ladies' Aid Church Committee end up enjoying themselves a little bit too much after taking adult doses of Colonel Harvey's Indian elixir. When Andy comes into his own home to find the tipsy Aunt Bee at the piano and the other women singing along, Aunt Bee calls him Sheriff Matt Dillon and then gleefully asks, "Where's Chester?" References were also occasionally made to Dodge City, the town in the Old West where Gunsmoke was set. During the second season, in the episode Sheriff Barney, the Greendale mayor and councilman see an article in the paper about Andy receiving an award, with the headline "Mayberry Sheriff Rated Best in the State." After they read that Mayberry County has the lowest crime rate in the state for the third consecutive year, they decide to try to hire away Barney to be the sheriff of Greendale. Barney later told Floyd and others, "Yeah, I know I'm walking into a cesspool of violence and crime, but well, a man's got to do what he's got to do." When Chester said Greendale was just a quiet little town, Barney responded, "Yeah, it's quiet on the outside. Underneath, it's another Dodge City." In the following season, in Barney and the Governor, Barney hears the sound of a wadded-up gum wrapper tossed in the street by Chester, then turns around, demanding to know who's littered. When Chester admits it and asks what is so terrible, Barney says, "I'll tell you what's so terrible. You start with gum wrappers, and then it's paper bags, then newspapers, then tin cans, then rubbish. First thing you know, Mayberry's up to here in litter," holding his hand at neck level. He continues, "Now litter brings slums, and slums brings crime. Now, is that what you want to see started here in Mayberry, a crime wave?" When Barney says he plans to nip it and insists Chester get the paper, Judd jokingly says to Chester, "Better hurry and get that piece of paper, Chester, before this town turns into a regular Dodge City." And finally, we can't forget the episode Fun Girls, when the character of Goober is first seen. His cousin Gomer thinks he's the master of impressions. Gomer first tells Andy Goober studies Cary Grant on account he takes off on him, then has Andy close his eyes for the impression, and afterwards says, "Couldn't you just swear Cary Grant was right here in this room?" He then has Andy watch while Goob does Edward G. Robinson, Finally, Gomer asks Andy, "You know Chester and Marshall Dillon? He can walk just like Chester." Goober's exaggerated limp has him bouncing high off the ground as he walks in a circle. "Ain't he got talent? Goober, you really got talent." Luckily, the fun girls from Mount Pilot were more impressed with Goober's impressions and jokes than Helen and Thelma Lou were. But that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take Andy's advice, and let's watch out for one another and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy, for that great history report. And man, if you want to make sure that you don't miss out on any of what Randy's doing on the internet and other places, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. It's turnersgrade@gmail.com. So this week, I had already gotten my Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors program, my certificate that I got from Randy. And this week, just actually moments before the podcast started, I got the first of the little magazines that he's putting out, the Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors Magazine. It's going to come out, I think, four times a year, I believe is what he says in here. This is the first issue I've gotten, and it's I'll just give you a little bit of information about it. It's modeled after the small format magazines like Nostalgia Digest. And he's designed it to be more than simply just a fanzine yet, but small enough to be able to distribute into a small limited subscriber base. So these are in addition to, you can get the e-bullet sent to you by email, and you can get these little newsletters, or this magazine. Actually, it's a little magazine. It's nice. It's only about 17, 18 pages long. But it's a lot of fun, so definitely something you might want to sign up for. Now, how do you sign up? I bet you could email Randy at turnersgrade@gmail.com. But you could also head over to the Facebook page for the group, and it's located. If you just search for the Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors Program, you'll find it. And information on how to become an official member in good standing is right there on the page. It's posted to the top. So you can go check it out. And so that's probably the best way for you to find it. There are links in our show notes about it. So, hey, Randy's doing his best to try to give us more and more Mayberry fun. So let's help him out. Let's try to keep the Mayberry fun coming. So thank you, Randy. It's always fun to see Mayberry stuff. Now, something else you guys may not have seen is Mayberry Magazine. Let's see. Do I have the latest issue? Yeah. The Mayberry Magazine. Now, this is published out of Mount Airy, North Carolina. That's where this one actually comes from. The folks in Mount Airy, did I say Mayberry? Mount Airy, North Carolina, Andy's hometown, they published this. Now, if you'd like to get this magazine, it's got stuff about the area up there. This one in particular has, there's this article in here called Griffith's Roots Run Deep. And it tells all about them, his family growing up and stuff. It's all kinds of nice stuff in there about that. And there's always trivia in the back. Let's see. This one is from December. Let me read you a couple of the trivia questions. Hopefully Randy won't have to correct the answers. So this is the this and that. So this is, we're to the that now. For that, it says, okay, so here's a good trivia question. When the Andy Griffith Show would come on each week during its television run, the famous opening sequence of Andy and Opie walking to the fishing hole would include a list of names, actors who were getting opening credits status as stars of the show. The rest of the regulars and guest actors would have their names listed in the show closing credits. How many people received such top billing in the opening credit status at some point during the show's run, and who were they? So how many people were actually credited in the opening credits with Andy Griffith starring Andy Griffith and Ronnie Howard? I'll give you that one. There's two. So how many were there? All right. So the answer is there were five different actors receiving opening credit status at some point during the show's run. Andy Griffith, Don Knotts, and Ron Howard received top billing status from the show's first run until it ended, or in Don's case, until he left the show after the fifth season. Francis Bavier didn't achieve top billing status until 1965, the first season after Knotts had left the show. Eleanor Donoghue, who played Andy's girlfriend, Ellie Walker, during the first season, was also a top billing actor that year. She already was an established television star, having been a regular on Father Knows Best, and the producers believed her name would offer a drawing power for audiences. Of course, she left the show after that season. So this is from the November-December issue of the magazine. So if you'd like to get this magazine, so now, look, I'm giving you all kinds of information about stuff. The Mayberry Magazine, I'm not going to put this in our show notes because there is no good way to contact them other than a phone number. So this is recorded, by the way, so you can rewind this to get the actual phone number. The phone number you'd want to call is 336-786-4141. I'll read it one more time, but you could just pause and rewind. It's 336-786-4141, and you can ask about getting Mayberry Magazine. So between Mayberry Magazine, the e-bullet, and the Andy Griffith Show Ambassadors Magazine, you could have Mayberry come into your house all the time. Oh, isn't that great? So there's you some options and things you might be interested in doing. So I hope you like that. I'm trying to think, was there anything else I was going to show you? Oh, I'll give you an update. Maggie Peterson, she doesn't say how she's doing, but I got a letter from her. She says to all of us, thank you for your generous gifts. And I am so grateful. So she's also been getting the cards and letters that you've been mailing to Weaver's Department Store. And she wants to thank everybody for sending those. Those have been nice. She's really appreciated that. And she's doing pretty well and doing fine. So, well, she's doing well. So consider, if you haven't, you can remember, you can donate to her. And that's in our show notes about how to donate to Maggie if you'd like to help her with her GoFundMe campaign. It's in the show notes for this episode. So just go and check it out and you'll see how to help support her as she's healing up from some surgeries and things that she's had. So, and by the way, that's Charlene Darling, for anybody that might not know that, I know you know, so, you know. Well, folks, that is about all I have for us tonight. I have definitely zigged and zagged. I've done the this and that, so I thought that was a good one. Well, it's a this and that and one thing and another. So I thought that's what this podcast would be about. So thank you for everybody that supports the show. I want to thank, again, our executive producer for tonight's show, Jonna Clark, thank you very much. And I just want to thank everybody that takes time to just get some of that Mayberry spirit out there in the world, because we can all use it right now. There's no doubt about that. So I'd love to hear from you. Darren, please call back in and leave the last part. You only got about a minute and a half to leave a message, or to cut you off. Or you can just record yourself and mail me an MP3 file. That'll work. So from everybody else, I'd like to hear from you too. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415, but don't talk more than about a minute and a half. And or you can email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I would love to hear from you. I always love to hear your thoughts and opinions about all this stuff, Mayberry related. Maybe write and tell me, or call me and tell me what you, the cast members you saw on other shows on the MeTV Month of Mayberry. It's great. Until next time, everybody, have a great Mayberry week.